Good evening, Sister Saints. Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, a sister's been sharing a lot of good topics lately, and one of them is about open doors, either learning how to open them or walking through them, looking for opportunities, and we share a lot of different subjects, and I want to try to keep up sharing them here so y'all can hear them too. And so, yeah, let's talk about door openers. And what I mean by that is the opportunity to share the truth with somebody. And so we should always be ready to walk through a door that God might open. And I want to read here. Let's see. Colossians 4:3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So God can open up doors for us, and we can also work to make that happen as well, or at least try. And so we should always be looking for ways to do that. And today I just want to share a few ideas on how us sisters can try to open some of the doors in conversations with somebody. And so we'll just start out with some ideas on how to open up the doors with people that we don't know, and that would be like, you know, out in the world, and not the ones that are in your life all the time. So I'll just give you an example of what happened a couple days ago. I know I shared it on my blog post the other day, but in case you didn't happen to read it, I'll share it here. So I was in the store, and I love going in the stores looking for opportunities to witness. I always pray that the Lord will open up a door, and if he doesn't, well, I still look anyway, always looking for opportunities to try to speak to somebody. So anyway, here, let me share one of them with you. So I'm looking at in the milk and the dairy section, and a woman walks up with her cart, and she was going to open up the door, and she looked at me. She's like, oh, you go ahead. I said, oh, no, I'm just looking. And she goes, oh, okay. She opened up the door. I said, there's so many decisions and choices here. I don't know which ones to pick. And she goes, oh, right, I know. And they're really raising up the prices too. My daughter's a single parent, and she's really trying to make her to stretch the dollar. And she did the stretching motion, and she started laughing. And I said, oh, yeah, I can understand that would be really difficult. And I said, so if you're from the area here, I know of some discount grocery stores. And she was like all excited about it. I said, here, let me pull it up on my map, and I'll show you where it's at. I said, I can't remember what the names of it is, what they are, but they're on my map. And as I pulled it open, I thought, oh, yeah, she's going to get the gospel. And while I was looking at it, I just opened it up, and she goes, so are you from around here? And we get that question a lot because different accents from different places where you go. And I said, oh, no, we relocated from Wisconsin a couple of years ago. And I was going to tell her why. And she cut in and she goes, why? What brought you down here? And there you go. That was a door opener. She opened it, even though the door was kind of already open. It was perfect for me. I pulled the gospel card out and I said, well, here, now that you asked. See, I put it on her. I said, now that you asked, I said, here's a gospel card. My husband's a street preacher. We travel all over the country, and we wanted to find a place in the central part of the country that we could, you know, kind of bounce around from. And we come back here once in a while, and then we're usually out. And I kind of explained a little bit. And she took the card. She said, well, God bless you. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And then I gave her the information, you know, on where to go. And she was so appreciative of it and thankful. So I was like, yeah, that was pretty awesome. A good door opener. So you just kind of lurk around and you just ask God, you know, maybe this woman over here or that one, lead me to whoever it is. You don't hear anything or whatever. You just strike up conversations. How are you doing today? Things like that. And so if people know that you are willing to talk, and let me just say this, sisters, you know, a lot of the Anabaptist type people, a lot of them aren't very friendly. They keep to themselves and they don't talk much. And the worldly people see that. And so they don't always talk to them or try to talk to them. So us sisters, because we're biblical and if we're truly born of God, we are transformed on the inside. So our outsides are biblical as well. Long, loose, unadorned dresses and skirts and shirts with head coverings. And so people see that. And they also see our demeanor, which should be joyful and peaceful. And we should love our neighbor. And we should be friendly, and we should be approachable, not just going about our business trying to get things done. And so anyway, so I don't get off on the wrong topic here. I was going to share about another time, just things you can look for. I look for people in parking lots when I'm walking in and out of the store looking for women. Maybe they're struggling trying to put some groceries in, or the cart's rolling away. Or in this one instance, I saw a woman putting her groceries in the trunk of the car, and the trunk came down and whacked her on the head. And so I hurried up over there and I held the trunk up, and she was so thankful. She's like, wow, that was so kind. And I got the gospel card out and I said, you know, I am this way because of the Lord. And I gave her the gospel card and she thought that was pretty awesome. And, you know, I keep sharing stories about being in the stores, but they really seem to be good places for witnessing, like really. And I know I've shared this one before, but one thing I often do, and I know I keep sharing things like this, but maybe somebody didn't hear it already, and it's a good reminder too, is I look for, like, when I'm in the store or wherever, maybe handicapped women, people who are having a hard time walking, they're on the scooter chairs, and maybe they can't reach something, maybe they're looking at something and taking a while to try to figure it out, and I always kind of lurk around, see if there's an opportunity to say, is there something I can help you with, can I reach it for you, or if I see them kind of not deciding, and I know something about the product, I'll say, you know, I have tried this one, or if I don't even know, I'll say, you know what, I don't know anything about those products, there sure are a lot of decisions here, aren't they? You know, just anything to open a door for conversation. And oftentimes people will soften and they'll look at you and talk because people don't seem to talk to each other today. Not like strangers anyway. So anyway, There's another one. I'm trying to think, like, what do you call those? In the aisles, the big signs that hang up over the aisles and it's got, you know, bread, sugar, milk, coffee, and it tells you what's in that aisle. Well, I'll often see women looking up there and kind of looking around and I kind of watch them and they up and down this aisle and that one and they can't find it. And so oftentimes I have an app of the store or the store app on my phone and I'll get close enough to them and I'll say, you know, there's a lot of choices here. I can't find what I'm looking for. Can you find what you're looking for? Something like that. And they'll be like, oh, yeah, I don't know. They move things around or just opens up the conversation. I say, well, what is it you're looking for? I can pull up my app and see if I can help you on it. And every single time it ends up being an opportunity to give the gospel. So that's pretty awesome. And another thing that you can do is pay attention to some of the conversations going around. Like, you're not going to eavesdrop on somebody who's talking really soft with somebody. But a lot of times people are, they're just standing around talking about things. And sometimes they say it nice and loud. And if you hear somebody talking about the things of God or, oh, this was at church and my pastor, this and that. And I hear that often. You could, if you want, you could say, you know, hey, excuse me, I couldn't help over here. You know, you're talking about the things of God and there's your door opener. And usually, you know, they'll listen to you and maybe be receptive of it because they were just talking about God in the middle of the public setting. So that's just another idea. And here's one that I do, especially while we're traveling, is I got a basket. Actually, it's a collapsible basket. It's great for the van because it collapses down really thin. And I had I had Brother James help me make a little gospel card on it. It's got the whole gospel on there. And then I clip it to the side of the basket and I can carry it on my arm or I can hook it onto a little cart that I have because I don't always like pushing a great big shopping cart because I don't usually shop for a lot when we're traveling. And I'm flying the gospel sign as I go through the store and you wouldn't believe the opportunities that I've had to witness because people, they give me a thumbs up on it or they'll, and then I can say something more. They come up and they say, oh, amen, thank you, God bless you, and things like that. And so even if nobody does that, I'm just spreading the gospel. So it's pretty awesome. And, you know, sisters, I'll admit that sometimes it is a lot easier to witness to people you don't know than to the people who are in your life. You know, like on a daily basis, like the people that live in your own home, people maybe that you work with or neighbors or, you know, all the people that you end up interacting with on a regular basis and you've already given them the gospel. And it's one of those things that it doesn't really even matter if they claim Christ or not, and you don't, if you don't see the fruit of it or whatever. It's one of those things, you've given them the gospel, you're intermingled in their life throughout whatever, you know, maybe some that you live with, you're there all the time with them, maybe some of it's just like that woman in the grocery store or whatever that keeps checking you out or something. So what are some ideas we can do to keep trying to share the truth with them even after we've given them the gospel? They know who we are. They know we're called out and separated from the world. We don't celebrate this and that. We don't participate in the worldly activities, but they're still in our life. So I want to say that just because you've already given somebody the gospel and they don't respond to it doesn't mean that you stop trying to shine your light or that you stop looking for ways to share the truth with them. Of course, if somebody adamantly says, stop talking to me about it, I don't want to hear it, you know, kind of like my whole family did and so did Brother James' family, then you don't cast your pearls. But if you can be who you are and shine your light and season your speech with salt and keep focusing everything to the Lord, then you definitely want to keep doing that. And I thought we'd read about being salt. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So that talks about us being the salt. And if salt's lost its savor, then what's going to happen? We're going to be good for nothing. And we're not supposed to hide our light, are we? Just get done telling us that. And if we don't speak about the things of God, then we're hiding our light. Amen, sisters? And let me see. It is Matthew. I want to read Matthew 10:32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So think about it. To confess something means we have to say it. We need to be speaking about him and his truth to others. And yeah, obviously our light shines in our obedience through our dress and our godly behavior, but we also need to be speaking it. And that brings me to, let's see, Colossians 4:5-6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So let's go back to the people that we've already shared the gospel with. And even if you don't see changes in them for the things of God, I want you to think about something. So all these seeds that you're planting, God might be lining those up for the day that somebody might be ready to have their eyes opened. Because, you know, I was seeking things of truth and God. I didn't even know what it was I was seeking, but it was about God. It was truth. It was something. And I was looking for it for many years. And the day I heard the gospel, I was instantly changed. Something within me was going directly for the things of God because I knew there was a hope and a truth. I knew there was a solid truth I could go chasing after. And I was changed. And as I matured over the years and I look back, I see his perfect timing in all of it. And to be honest with you, I might not have been ready until that very moment. Right at that time, even though I was seeking something before that. So think about that. God might hide truth from people until they're ready and he sees their willing heart. And we sisters, we just got to keep doing our job and he can use those seeds for those around us, right? And so we can't grow weary in well-doing. And it could be a repetitive thing. We just do it day by day. And so once we've already shared the gospel with the people that we're talking about, maybe had some conversations with them or people that are in our life all the time, what is it we could be doing to shine our light and speak in the things of God? So it just said in the scriptures there that we season our speech with salt, which means we always want to be getting in the habit of saying things that praise God or point to the truth. That would be seasoning our speech with salt. The words flowing out of us are always going to be pointing to the things of God. Not every single sentence, every single minute, but most conversations, it's just going to flow from you. And people are just going to see that and hear that all the time. And so we'll just go through a couple examples here. So somebody says good morning to you and asks you how you're doing today. And you can say that you're joyous in the Lord, or I'm doing awesome and every day is a wonderful day to serve our Savior. You know, and you can find a few different ones to say because you're going to encounter these people a lot. And so you're just going to always be praising God on simple things like that. And here's one, like if you go out in public and it's to people you already know or anybody really, a lot of people like to talk about the weather. Oh, it's beautiful, this and that. And those are easy to say things with. But here's one that you might want to think about. Like if somebody says, oh, it is really cold out, or wow, it's really hot today, or that rain is something else, you know, where they're not really liking the weather, but they're just kind of complaining about it. You could smile and be joyous and you could say something like, you know, it's funny you say that because before I was in Christ, I used to not like these days. But today, I think every day is a beautiful day to serve the Lord. and you've just shined an awesome light. And these people who kind of get to know you will know that if they're going to be complaining about it, you're going to be lifting up the Lord. And you're just, your speech is seasoned with salt. And remember this, sisters. After you talk to somebody and you walk away, you might be going, oh, I should have said this or should have said that, you know, like pointing them to the things of God. You know, you can always follow up with them on the next time that you see them. I do that with sometimes if somebody helps me in the store and I don't get a chance to give them a gospel card or something and I run into them again. It's like, hey, you know, you helped me last time. Thank you so much. And we were talking about this and that. I wanted to tell you this, and I give them a gospel card. So just, it doesn't mean that the door's shut. You're looking for that opportunity to open that door again by using something that happened before. So that's a really good idea. And here's another idea that we use a lot, because we're out in the world all the time and people always end up saying the same things, you know, like, oh, can you believe what that president's doing? Or, oh, these disasters going on, or all the evil, wicked things. And you could say something like, you know, the Bible predicts a lot of this in the end times. And that's a lot of bad news, but there is good news in Christ. Can I give you the gospel? And if you've already given them the gospel, you can say, well, there is good news in Christ, and I've shared that with you. Are you interested in more? And then see where the conversation goes. And those kind of people that are in your life, after a while, they'll either stop sharing that news or stuff that they're just like complaining about or something. They'll either stop doing it, or you're just going to keep getting a lot of opportunities to point them to the Lord. So, you know, I'm just going to say this, sisters, you're going to sound like a parrot with the people that are always in your life. You're just probably going to be repeating a lot of the same things to them, but you know what? That's okay, because they need to hear the Word of God and be pointed in the right direction. And, you know, I know about this because I shared in an audio the other day that Brother James and I have gone through all these different situations, and we lived with an unbeliever and somebody professing to be of Christ. It was his parents, but living worldly, carnal lives, and we had to deal with that. And to be honest with you, I actually looked at it as a challenge every day to try to share something of God with them. And I didn't care if they received it or not. I mean, I was just being faithful to the Lord. And by doing that, it keeps us strong and on guard, and we're loving our neighbor. Because, you know, we got to remember, these people are on their way to destruction if they don't repent. And if you were that person on your way to destruction, and you were blind and ignorant and didn't know and didn't realize it, wouldn't you want one of us sisters to be trying to reach you? And I just want to share something else with you. Just think about this, you know, because we are to have a meek and quiet spirit, that doesn't mean we don't speak. Because meek and quiet spirit, it's like an inner quality. And if you see the reference, the main reference, it's speaking to wives about being around their husbands. And we see that women are to be more quiet around the men in the body for teaching, and we see the male authority, but we clearly know and see that women are to be speaking and sharing the truth of God. Because just look through the Bible. Look at Anna the prophetess. She was telling everybody about the Savior, anybody who would listen. And the woman at the well ran and told the men about Christ. And let me think. Mary and the women that were with her, Jesus instructed them to tell the disciples about his rising, his resurrection. And you see in, is it Romans? Is it? I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, Paul was commending the women who labored with him in the gospel. And so there's a lot of examples in the Bible that show women being great workers of the Lord. And obviously, we need to keep it in the rightful place as a godly woman. And quite honestly, sisters, this is just our reasonable service. And sometimes doing these things can be a little bit hard, but we can draw strength from this. This right here ought to snap us into shape. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Yep, sometimes it's hard. I'm just basically going to say we're supposed to do it anyway. And we can draw strength from the Lord. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So anyway, I'm going to leave you with this. Matthew 10:27-28. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That tells us we're not supposed to fear man, we're supposed to fear God. And so hopefully some of those examples might have helped some of you out. And I'm here to help you as well. We love you all. Hold fast, sister saints. May God be praised.